like what our praise leader said, God will make that hour up somewhere. I mean, no, he really already did. He said, get to bed. Get to bed. You got to get up a little earlier tomorrow. Everybody had a good week this week? Amen. Boy, it sounded kind of weak. Everybody have a good week this week? Amen. Come on, you're alive, you're breathing, right? I look out and you're still pretty. You still look pretty to me. So, I mean, you're doing pretty good, I think. How many years have you all been married?
60.
60 years.
Woo!
Wow. 60 years. That's 300 husband years.
She was a baby.
She was a baby, yeah. She was 2 when he married her. Yeah, wow. 60. Well, congratulations on that. How about some of the others that your anniversary has put up there? 30 years? Wow. Donna's 29. How'd that happen? 29, 30. Isn't that great? 60 years. You know, it just goes to show you, if we persevere, we can have a good marriage for a long time. For a long time. My son and I talked a little bit about marriage yesterday, you know, and women and all. And you know, we're just different, aren't we? Men and women, we're just different. I told him the other night, I said, there was a guy that, that came up, didn't it? There was a guy that, he used to go to church here before he passed away, Floyd. What was Floyd's last name? You remember Floyd Freeman? And Floyd Freeman's house was the neatest house I'd ever seen. After Sue, his wife, died, which we never knew Sue. He came here after Sue had already passed away. But he had the neatest 3-bedroom trailers right down here on Anderson Road. And when you walked into his, I think it was his 1st or 2nd bedroom, you opened the door and it was a workshop. He had a grinder and tools hanging on the wall, just like you would if it was out in the garage. And I thought, that's cool. And I thought, only a guy would think that's cool, wouldn't he? A woman would never think that's cool. And I said, man, Janet, there's no way Janet would let me put my shop that close, you know. So, and I thought, oh yeah, Sue's gone. That's right. But that's the difference between a woman and, you know, she'd have probably turned it into a sewing room or something else if Floyd would have went home before she did. But we're just different. But isn't it good to be different and to challenge each other and to love each other and to just have a great relationship? And then some of you that are single, you know, Steve's single and Mike and some of you that are single, well, just enjoy singleness. But let's all enjoy life, you know? In fact, how many knows we really didn't lose an hour? Technically, we still have 24, just like God gave us. So you don't have to stress out about an hour. But just enjoy life where you are. Enjoy your journey. We went out yesterday. My son and I went fishing, caught bass, big bass. I even let him beat me yesterday. Just to make you feel good. Yeah. Where'd I go? It's a secret. I can't tell you. I told you I'd have to kill you. It was a private pond. You have to have, you know, it's a private pond. So, but it was great. We had a great day and we enjoyed that. Today's a different day. This is a day the Lord hath made. And we just rejoice and be glad in it. And so we're glad you're here. Don't forget the chili cook-off today. We have plenty of chili for everybody, and I hope you get to stay with us. We got chili and hot dogs and all that healthy stuff back there. All the grease you want today. But just stay and have some fellowship with us, if you will. If you've got time, and all, stay, because we've got plenty of food back there. And maybe those that have slept in today that didn't turn their clocks, maybe they'll make it for lunch. We'll see them there. All right. Everybody got your sword? This is my Bible, can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. Jesus' name. Today we're going to kind of close out the series we've done on unveiling the codes of the universe. We're going to look at the 10 most popular, 10 most known, probably all over the world. And these codes are what we call them, the 10 commandments. The 10 commandments. How many knows that when God put these together, He didn't call them the 10 suggestions? It's amazing to me that sometimes people just look at them kind of like it's a suggestion. If you want to keep these, you can, and if you don't, it really doesn't matter. Whatever you believe. You hear that a lot? I hear that a lot. Well, you know, it's relative to you because you believe that. It's relevant for you, but it's not for me because I don't believe that. And how many knows if we go against this, it might really matter to you someday. So he calls them the Ten Commandments in Exodus. If you want to turn there, in the 20th chapter is where he's given the commandments. And how many knows he's given the commandments, and then he has to give them to them all over again. This is kind of an odd thing, isn't it? When you read the story, Moses is on the mountain and he gives him these precious tablets. It's written, it says, with the finger of God. God, can you imagine receiving that? You know, talk about a collector's item. If you could grab a hold of the Ten Commandments, the original Ten Commandments written by the finger of God on a tablet, wouldn't that be cool? But as precious as that is, the Bible talks about the people are down and they're already rioting because it doesn't take adults long to lose focus, does it? When Kishi was talking about focus, I know exactly what you're talking about. Keeping that focus where it needs to be. Right now we're talking about getting a grip on Wednesday nights. Getting a grip on your life. Getting a grip on your schedule. This Wednesday is getting a grip on your body as we eat chili today for lunch. We don't make it easy, do we? But just eat a small portion, you know, and say your prayers, you know, say it with thanksgiving. But here they are, and they're out of focus. For Moses is gone to receive the commandments. And then he comes down and he throws the tablets at them. That's pretty bold, isn't it? I wonder if when Moses flung the tablets at them and he threw them at them and he thought, ooh. Sorry, you know. But God was upset with them too, wasn't he? In fact, God was ready. He said, if you want me to, I'll just wipe this group out and make you another group that's more holy than them. I've pastored some groups like that. if you could just wipe this group out and then make me another group, we'd be better off. Boy, I was just kidding. Come on, you're supposed to laugh there. All right. And so anyway, he throws the tablets, and so he has to go back up and get them. But here they are, and let's look at them together. Probably the 10 most popular codes of the universe, that at least in the United States where we profess Christianity. And the Lord, and God said, spoke all these things, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and out of the house of bondage. I brought you out of Egypt, and I brought you out of bondage. And just think with me for a minute. He didn't bring them out of bondage and out of captivity to bring them back under bondage to rules. Are you with me? He's given them, these are commandments, but they're commandments of freedom. That's what we ought to think of these Ten Commandments as, commandments of freedom. Because they really do bring you freedom. People that look at the Ten Commandments and don't look at it in that light, he's brought us out of captivity and he's given us commandments so we can live in freedom. How many has rules in your house? Here's what I know about your house. If you don't have rules in your house, you have chaos in your house. That's what you have. In fact, you can have one person in your house if you have a family and there's one kid that doesn't obey the rules of the house. You still have chaos. Everybody in the house has chaos. Because rules are presented to bring freedom, aren't they? They're not presented to bring bondage and restrictions. These boundaries that God set for us, he said, I know I created you. I manufactured you. You're made in my image. And if we have something wrong with our car, we send it back to the mechanic or to the dealer that made this car because they know what all the working parts. And that's what he said about us. I'm giving you 10 commandments, but you should look at them as 10 areas or 10 things that's going to bring freedom for your life, where you can be the most free in your life by following and adhering to these. So I brought you out of bondage into freedom. And it says in verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. Now why would God tell us that if it's, you know, in fact, he says why. He says, because I'm a jealous God. The Living Bible, I believe, puts it here, I'm a possessive God. But here's what I know. It's still more about you than it is about him. Jeremy? It's still more about you than it is about him. He's a jealous, he's a possessive God, but the reason he wants us to set our affection and our focus on him is because he knows if we look at him and we look at what he's saying to us and we abide in that, that's where we're going to be most happy and most fulfilled. So it's all how you look at it. Right now, If you were here Wednesday night, I went and bought us a little puppy. He's a Westie, and he's a little white thing. He looks like, kind of like a white rat, really, but he's cute and fuzzy and right now. But he don't have a clue about the rules of our house. He poops and pees wherever he wants to. And I told him no. And all he does is look at me like, you know, just, and wants to play. And so Jana was like, well, he's just little, and let's just put him in the house, and then we'll lock him in the utility room. He's little. He can't sleep outside. And so we're talking about commandments and rules of your house, right? So we put him up in the utility room and shut the doors, put out papers, you know, like he's going to read the paper or something. I don't know what they're... But we put out papers. And so, you know, the first night he did hit some. He landed some on the paper. And so the second night, oh, he's little. He can't, you know. I said, well, you know. So the third night, he doesn't hit the paper. And I don't know if we changed food. I don't know what it was. But it was a mess. And it wasn't on the paper. And as I opened the door to clean up the mess yesterday morning, the aroma filled the house. That's why you have commandments in your house, is to keep the aroma out of your house.
Amen.
How many has ever had some of that aroma? Woo! You know, got a mess if you don't have commandments, if you don't have rules in your house. And so anyway, last night she said, you know, she put his little bed out on the back porch. She said, it's not that cold out there, is it? And the reason she did that is because one of the commandments in our house is no pooping on the floor. It's a good rule, isn't it? God says, I've got rules here for you kids, and it's not to restrict you, it's to help you, it's to bless you. But we look at commandments as rules and restrictions to keep us from having fun. And that's the devil's oldest tool in his arsenal. He says, you know, God knows in the day you eat, you'll not die, you'll be like God. And he's restricting you from letting you have fun. And let me know, that's a lie from the pits of hell. Every rule he gives us. Now, here's some things that we learn. When God is in full maturity and we're not, it was interesting to me the other day. Jake told me, was, I don't know where we was at, was hanging out together, and he reminded me that I used to wouldn't let our kids listen to like KJ103 or, you know, secular stations. I said, yeah, I'm sorry about that. That's just where I was. Because there was a time when I love country music. I listen to country music some now, but there was a time when God just says, I don't want you to listen to that right now. I mean, it's just like a fast off country music. And I grew up with country music. Hank Williams Sr., you know, was one of my heroes and all. But I grew up with that. But it's just a time when I just couldn't. So that was a part of my rule for my house and stuff. And so, that's just where I was. And sorry about it. He said, oh, that's okay, you know, and all. But all I'm saying is your rules may be different now because of where you are, but these things will never change. These are something you can look at, and they're consistent in your life, right where you are, these Ten Commandments. And so when he says, you shall not make any gods, have no other gods before me, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, commandment number two, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the water. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love and me and keep my commandments. And so the second one, he says, you know, you don't put an image up. Remember when Moses was on the mountain, they came down and says, we don't know where this Moses is. And you got to remember, they came out of Egypt where there's hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of gods. And so this is nothing new to them to make an image. They've grown up with it for 400 years. They've been in this environment. And so here they are, and they say, we need a God we can see. We can't even see this God that's leading us. Although he had brought all the plagues and turned water into blood and killed the firstborn of every Egyptian and all these things, they couldn't see him and they couldn't touch him. They wanted a tangible God. Don't you wish sometimes we had a tangible God? We could just sit down beside Him and say, I'm so glad you showed up. Because I really needed, you know, just to touch them, you know. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes don't you just wish you could do that with the Lord? Just, could you just come here and talk back to me for a little while, you know? Kind of like the little girl. Remember the story about the little girl that they was having a storm in their house and she was afraid. She says, Mommy, I'm afraid. And she said, Honey, it's okay. Jesus is with you. And a little while, the little girl said, Mommy, I'd really need somebody with skin on right now. That's the way we are sometimes. Just somebody we can touch, you know, just hug. You know, we're hugging, touching people. We're a hugging church, you know. And so sometimes it would be nice, wouldn't it, just have a God that would come and just touch you. And so that's what they were used to, seeing statues of gods that was erected by man. And even Dagon, you know, and all the gods that they had. I was reading, I just went on the internet just to pull one off. I looked in Egyptian gods, and it was talking about, I don't remember where I put it in my notes, but it's talking about a god. Oh, here it is. It says, when the Israelis were there and talking about all the, it was one of the gods was Hathor, and it was a god of love, a god of dance, and a god of alcohol. We might say, that sounds like the god of the ballroom here, you know, the bar or something. And then a different part of the country, in Thebes, it was also the god of the dead. If you went to a different place, it had a different representation. But that's what they were around as they grew up. And so they're used to this God, and so they say to Aaron, they said, make us a God that we can follow. And so he says, break off all your, and he fashioned the calf. So that they could touch, and they could see, and it was beautiful, and it was costly, and so they're following this God, and then here's the problem with a God. When you create a God, it comes with its own set of rules. See, that's why God said you shouldn't have affection, or you shouldn't bow down to carved images, is because they come with a different set of rules. They come with the rules that I want. It's like atheism. You know, if you're an atheist, you got your own set of rules. It comes with that. It's like I serve self. I don't believe in God. And if I want to do it, that's what I'll do. It's not wrong if I don't believe it's wrong. You know. It comes with its own set of rules. And so the Bible said they partied and they were happy. And Aaron saw that it made them happy. And so he's just falling right in with them because they're happy. Well, if they're happy, it's bound to be a good thing, right? Well, not really. Because the next morning they began to, the Living Bible says they began to make merry and dance and immoral sex. See, this God didn't have the same rules, and that's what happens when we become our own God and we serve self. We begin to say, well, this is what I want, this is what I will do. I know what the Bible said. It says I shouldn't set my affection on, but I'm going to set my affection on something other than God. For you that's battled addictions, drug or alcohol addictions, you know that becomes the God of your life, right? It becomes a controlling factor. Now, I don't understand that because I have never been in an addiction like that. But for some of you that have, you know how it has a different set of rules, doesn't it? It's not about what you want to take and what you will consume. It's about what you need now, your body needs and craves, and what you think you have to have. It's a different set of rules because now the God of drug or alcohol becomes your controlling factor. See? So that's the danger. When we get our affection off God and we start looking at other things, then all of a sudden we begin to realize that, you know what? This comes with a different set of rules. This God does. One of the biggest gods, I think, in our country is the God of self, isn't it? Wouldn't you agree with that? What I want, I'll do what I want when I want, and I'll go where I want and when I want, and I'll, you know... See, if that wasn't true, every church in America would have to have multiple services to accommodate the people that are serving God. But this morning, churches' seats are available most places because The God of self is what we're serving. The God of pleasure, that's a huge God in America, isn't it? How can you tell? Well, look at all the movie theaters. Nothing wrong with going to the movie, but I'm just saying, look at them anytime during the look at the casinos. That's a big God in America today, isn't it? I wish they'd change the law and say, well, one day out of the week, all the casino money has to go to the church. Man, that'd be amazing, wouldn't it? What all we could do with that, you know. But we're still giving to water wells and feeding and doing all. So it's, but it's amazing. You can see where the God is, but where the people go and what they do. And so he says, you shall not have any carved or graven images. You shall not bow down to them. You shall not serve them. For I'm the Lord your God. I'm a jealous God. Verse 5, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, third and fourth generations. Verse 7, third commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. You ever use God's name in vain? I used to before I was really following Christ. I would use his name in a damning way. And sometimes we still do, is we just nonchalantly talk about God, or, you know, in a he is our loving Father, but he said, when Jesus said, when you come into his presence, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, to give him honor. Come into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. He's still reverent. In fact, he told us in one place, he said, you shouldn't really fear the person that has the power to kill your body, but you should really fear the person that has the power to kill your body and throw you into hell. Guess who that is? That's God. Now, he won't send you there. You have to work your way there. I mean, we talked about that. You can reject him when the law of death was, or sin is death. That's a code that we talked about. But he will definitely be the one to carry out the sentence. So, respect his name. Commandment number 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day of this is a Sabbath to the Lord. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor daughters, nor male servants or female servants, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and the seventh all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. I did a message, I don't know if you remember, of a while back, and remember what the Sabbath means? Intermission. That's what the Sabbath means. You know, take a break. Time out. Isn't it refreshing? I love the Sundays, don't you? I love to just the break of the week, to come in and hear the praisers and the musicians singing and praying, and we have prayer meeting in back before church starts, and I love all of it. I love the fellowship. I love the meet and greet. I love the meet and greet, don't you? In fact, we did meet and greet for a long time here, and when we had a meeting, you know, and how you things change over time, and we decided not to do the meet and greet anymore. We sing a song, and then we'll meet and greet and hug each other. And so we just stopped, and about one or two Sundays, man, we almost had a riot here. People's like, we're not hugging each other and meeting each other after the song anymore. What's the matter with you? And we realized how precious that is, just to love on family and say hi and good to see you today. And so we have the meet and greet again, but some of you love that just like I do, and just saying hi and how are you and how's your week going this week? Mike said, how's your week? And I said, my week's great. I said, how's your week? He said, it's great. I've had a great week. See? Just touch it. So remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's amazing, isn't it? How he said, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You need that. One of our classes, it was a little disturbing to me. They were coming to a place where they said that some high energy people that they were talking about just didn't need church as much as other people needed church. That's what they said. And my hackles kind of went up. Because I thought, really, that's contradicting Scripture, and if you contradict Scripture to accommodate society, then the church is going to be dead before long. And my professor didn't like it, but I really didn't care. I said, sir. I said, doc. The Bible, that's the fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And then he said in Hebrews 10, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And I said, not only that, but, you know, that Jesus was in the temple or the synagogue on the Sabbath. Did he need it? Is there anybody that would not need what Jesus needed? Now, if they don't come, that's okay. That's their privilege. That's their right. But to say you're okay, you just don't need it, that's contradicting Scripture. So all I'm saying is that, you know, when they brought that up, I thought it just contradicts Scripture. And to tell them, well, everybody needs it. We need it because it's one of the commandments. And it's not a restriction. I don't feel like this is a restriction for me, do you? I feel like it's a blessing that energizes me, and I always get something from something that just helps me for my week. And then it reminds me to keep my focus where my focus belongs. This is my piece of heaven on earth that says, you know what, all that stuff I fought this week, that's not it. There's a group I'm going to go to heaven with. And we're going to live forever and ever and ever. And I'll tell you where it'll really come to life is whenever someday they tell us we can't have church no more. Somebody the other day said our president is considering taking the tax, you know, making taking the tax exempt away from the churches, and asked me if I'd heard about it. And I said, no, I haven't, but I'm not surprised. I enjoy my tax deduction. I think it's it's just business side of what we get to enjoy, and I've been audited because of contributions, probably like you have, and that's okay. But you know, he just said we got to give. How many's going to give even if he takes a tax exemption away, you know? Because it's not about tax exemption. It's about saying, God, you own me. And you asked for this amount, so I'm going to give you this amount so my life can be blessed. In fact, he said in Malachi, he said, if you give, I will rebuke the devourer. So there's a rebuking, and there are battles that tithers don't have to fight, that other people have to fight on occasion. Now, everybody has to fight a battle. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. So we're all fighting battles, but He just gave us a promise in there that said, you know what, if you're a tither, if you'll give the tenth of your income, not your leftovers, He said, I will bless you, and I will rebuke the devourer from some of the things that you would have had to fight. It's a part of just keeping the church alive and keeping the Sabbath holy is when he commands us to do these things. It's for our good. It's not for our boundaries. Verse 12, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. It's the first commandment with promise. Honor your father and mother. Now, we live in a society where this can really be debatable, can it? Because, well, my father, in fact, I saw on TV this week, I saw on the television, and my heart just broke for these kids. They had two girls, I believe it was, a girl and a boy. I think it's two girls and a boy. And their dad had molested them all of their days, abused them, and finally the boy got tired of it and shot and kill the dad. I'm telling you. The girl stood up and said, I hope my dad rots in hell. And I hope my mother does too. How are you going to read that to them? Honor your father and mother. Here's what I know. I know that they don't get the hate out of their heart and do some kind of honoring just because of what it does for them, not because of what their parents deserved. Listen, when God tells you to honor somebody, it doesn't mean you have to like it. They may not have anything you could even think to honor them about, but because of what God has said to you, say, you know what, God, whatever that means in my, I forgive them, I release them because because that's, I don't want to have that in my heart. Whatever your guardian or your parent did to you or however bad it was, right now, you, all you need to think of this is, about is this. That is, God said to honor them, so I, with all that's within me, I will show them honor to the, my greatest degree. Because of what it'll do for me. Not because of what it'll release them from or what it'll do for them, but because of what it'll do for me. Honor your father and mother. Has your father and mother ever hurt you? Mine have. I'm sure I have my kids. But he said, you know what? It's not about that. It's about honoring them because of what it will do for your heart and your mind to keep you straight. One of the most freeing things I've ever done in my life is learn how to forgive people. To work through that process and begin to pray blessing over them and speak blessing over them and release them. That's one of the most freeing things I've learned as a Christian. I'll put it right up next to, right under salvation somewhere there. Just freeing to not have people under my skin and in my brain taking up my time. Thinking about them and thinking how I hate them and how, you know, you're going to get yours and how I could connive or whatever, you know, and get back at them. That's one of the most freeing things I've learned as a Christian. Just to love them and release them, regardless of what they've done. So honor your father. You may live long on the earth or have long life. 13, you shall not murder. You shall not murder. Every day in Oklahoma City, there's a murder, isn't there? Every day almost. We can't hardly go one day without having at least one murder. Yeah, it is almost every day. They find a body. Somebody's murdered through a gang. Some little innocent kids kill because of... And here's the thing. When we get away from these commandments and we call these boundaries and restrictions and things, this is what this is the fruit. We're reaping the fruit of not following these. We're just reaping the fruit of not following commandments. The Mexican Mafia not too long ago came into... a little restaurant over on 59th Street just blew a guy away. Cop told him, said, you never get out of the Mexican Mafia. And did it right in broad daylight. Just blew him away. They got a different set of codes and rules. You know, he said, you never get, this is their God. It's us. It's self. It's our rules. He said, you never get out of it, and they'll always take care of you all of your life as long as you're in it. Take care of you. People's going to murder you if you don't. They'll take care of you. See, isn't that oxymoron? Isn't that, that's crazy, isn't it? We'll always take care of you, but we'll kill you if you ever try to leave. But we love you. See, you can't have a loving rule and a hate rule in the same thing. It makes sense. It'll lead to just cold killing. That's the fruit of serving another God. Shall not murder. In fact, let me just say this about that before we move on. The Bible says if you hate your brother in your heart, you're a murderer. Now listen to me real carefully. Yeah, but I can't help it after what they did. That's why I hate them. Listen, God would never tell you to do anything that you couldn't help. Now, you may not can do it on your own, but He'll give you power. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so we're not looking at our own power. That's the only way I could forgive people is just through the power of Christ. That's the way you can is through Christ. So that's a part of saying, well, I don't want to be a murderer. I don't have hate in my heart. Next commandment, verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. This is probably one of the biggest... Also one of the biggest gods in America. Adultery and fornication. It's huge in America. And it's got us a lot of fruit, hasn't it? Millions and millions of broken homes. Millions and millions of sexually transmitted diseases. That's what it's got us. I heard a preacher say one time, you know, if you want to cure AIDS, just have one man for one woman. It'll kill itself. That's the way God set it up. But it's become an epidemic in America to, you know, just if you want sex outside of marriage, it's okay. It's all right. Well, it's not. It's and I'm telling you, we'll reap the fruit of it. But it's become a god in our country. Verse 15, the next commandment. You shall not steal. You shall not steal. According to statistics, 80% of the church steal. They don't pay their tithe. The IRS, I mean, you know, the IRS had I saw a young man, I think I mentioned it, I saw him the other day, and he's talking about how it's a good deal. He was doing this job for this guy, this millionaire, and he's making a lot of money. He said, I don't even have to pay taxes. Isn't that wonderful? I said, no, that's terrible. It's going to catch up to you, and it's going to be... I said, I've went around with the IRS. I'm telling you better, as a business person, I said, and you better keep that straight. You better keep it straight. See? God put these rules in there for us to enjoy and have blessing. See, not steal. How about your time? Do you steal time away from what really needs to be done and just give it to what you want to do? I think that's kind of what you were talking about earlier. Just stealing time from really what we could do because you, for whatever reason, there's not really a good reason, is there? It's just we get in some kind of mode and we think, you know, our prayer life or our devotion life or whatever, it will suffer and then the rest of it, we think we'll be okay, and we're not. He said, just put me first. I heard a guy say one time, I've got so much to do today, I'll have to pray 2 or 3 hours to get it all done. That's a great concept, isn't it? We think I have to pray less to get, and all he's saying is, if I will be faithful to pray and to seek God's face, I'm sure He will help me get everything done. Everything done. Shall not steal. Ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Nobody's ever said that. Did you hear what I heard about them? Yeah. And then you want to elaborate on what you heard about them? And not knowing it's true, we'll just there's something in us, isn't there, that just wants to spit it out, you know? Guess what I heard? There's just something in us. I don't know why we do that. But we need to be careful because when we're giving information that we don't know, we may be bearing false witness. And so we need to be really careful about what we say. Here's what I've learned is really effective. If somebody wants to tell you something they've heard about somebody and it's dirt, you say this something like this, oh, I love them. Don't you just love them? I just love them so much. In fact, they're one of my good friends. And if you heard something that's not right, will you help me intercede for them for a while? You know, I mean, just turn it around, because if we're going to talk, how many knows, we might as well be interceding for someone instead of bashing someone. See? Shall not bear false witness. In fact, the Bible says that if in the Old Testament, if a brother came up and made a false accusation against you, or an accusation, they would bring you before the judges, and they'd set you down before the judges, and here's what had happened. If they found out that you were making a false accusation against your brother, whatever the penalty would have been that would be given to your brother if he was really committing that crime, whatever the penalty would have been, that's what you're going to suffer. That's Old Testament law. So if Adam says, well, pastor's just been lying and cheating and on his wife, and he's in, and you all came together and said, well, you know, that's a death penalty there. Are you sure, Adam? That's what I heard. I'm sure it's true. It comes from a good source. You willing to stand and testify? I'm all willing, you know, and then we come and we all find out that it wasn't true at all. Then you would get to die instead of me. You know, I don't know about you, but that would help me make sure about what I'm saying, wouldn't it, Jill? I mean, that would give me incentive if it was my life on the line. I mean, read on or saw on TV just not long ago where a young lady was talking, thought she was having this conversation with a young man and said it was another girl, and her mother got involved in it, and then she, her mother says to this young girl that was supposedly be this guy she was falling for on the internet, she broke it off and called her all kinds of names. Young girl committed suicide. So distraught. And so now the young girl and the mother's been on trial. Isn't that sick? But it's because we don't have rules, and this is what you get when you don't have rules. You don't have, because they're good for us. They keep us in with pure thoughts and pure motives. Shall not, and then finally it says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Shall not covet your his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox. In other words, you shall not covet his car or his gold wing. Or his Westie puppy.
Yeah.
Or whatever else you have. Ladies, you shall not covet their jewelry or their dress or, you know, whatever. Their house. Oh, I wish they had their house. See, we bought a new house and we're really proud. We worked hard. In fact, we went out to dinner with some of our Gold Wing group and Harleys. Pray for Bob. He's just not quite there yet. The anointing's coming. First thing Bob does when he walked in my house, looked at me, they pay you too much. I thought, what kind of remark? I didn't even know what he was talking about. I didn't catch it first. He's like, oh, it's too pretty a house for you. I thought I was so, I know you're teasing. But that's the way we are. You know, I mean, about certain things, you know, is.
Come on.
God says, here's the key on that. When you get something, Jerry, that's nice, I rejoice with you. Because you've been a faithful servant. You put up with Olin for 60 years. Whatever she gets, you know, blessings, you know. But he says, and the reason he don't want us to covet people's things is because it affects how you think. You know, it's funny because we you know made the little CD of the songs God gave us and all, and then I hear somebody sing on the radio and think, man, I could do that good. And I thought, you know, I know our CD has served the purpose for what it is to minister to a few people about certain things and the country flavor and all. But whatever it is that you have, have you ever thought, Kisha, when somebody's up singing, man, I could be up there making that money? Have you ever thought that? I've thought that. Yesterday we saw a little group, and one of my nephews is in a little, they call it a red dirt band. I don't know what that is really, but it sounds like rock and country to me. That's what I call it. But he's up there just drumming, and one of my sisters made a statement. She said, those boys will go places. And they did have a good sound, good lead singer. But here's the thing about when we're use your talents, use what God has given you, enjoy what God has given you, and give Him praise and thanks and glory and honor, and watch Him increase you. Because if you don't, it'll affect your thinking, what you don't have. You ever get that, what I don't have, and how hard I work mode, what I deserve? How many knows if we all got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell? But through the grace of God and Jesus Christ and His precious blood, we're all on our way to heaven. That's exciting, isn't it? And so enjoy where you are. If you've got an old yellow and black Harley, ride it. If In fact, can I tell you something? Sometimes I admire you and your old heart. It's like an old friend, isn't it, to you? You know, you can tell. He gets on it and they just... And if he's in front of you, those pipes are just... And there's something about me just kind of likes that. You know, just... for a little while. And then I can get in front of you so it's not so loud. But all I'm saying is, you know, like the old saying says, the grass always looks greener on the other side, but guess what? You have to mow that grass too. It's got to be mowed. So don't covet. Just be happy with where you are with what you have. That's all he's saying. And bless the Lord and bless and rejoice when people rejoice. He says, and guess what? I'll bring you everything else that you need. These are the most famous 10 commandments of all. And I want to read you this and we'll close. We've got to get out early so we can get a early start on chili. But it's all wrapped up. Now listen, if you can't remember all 10, it all sums it up. This is the Living Bible I'm reading from, and it's Romans 13, starting with verse 7. Pay everyone whatever he ought to have. Pay your taxes, your import duties gladly. Obey those over you. Give honor and respect to all those to whom it's due. Pay all your debts except the debt of love for others. Never finish paying that. Don't you love that? I can never finish paying the debt of love for you. He said that should never be paid off. And then he says this, for if you love them, you will be obeying all of God's laws. You'll be in good standing with all the laws, he says. Fulfilling all his requirements. Just think about that. As long as I love you and it's never paid off, my love for you, I'm going to be in good standing with him. But you know what? If I love you, I'm not going to cheat you. I'm not going to bear false witness against you. I'm not going to covet your things. I'm not going to, you know, that's why it covers everything. And so he's made it simple. We make it hard. If you love your neighbor as much as you love yourself, you will not want to harm or cheat them or kill him or steal from him. You won't sin with his wife. You want or want what he has. Or do anything else that the Ten Commandments say is wrong if you love them. All 10 are wrapped up in this one, to love your neighbor as yourself. It says love does no one wrong. Does no wrong to anyone. That is why it fully satisfies all of God's requirements. It is the only law you need. Wow. So if we can get the love thing down, the genuinely loving one another thing down, he said we've got it whipped. This morning, it touched my heart. We was through with meet and greet, and Miss Ray came in, and I was standing over there in my regular place behind Ed and Linda. And Linda didn't care if meet and greet was over. She walked all the way over and found Miss Ray and gave her a big hug and a greet. Because that's what I felt like I needed to do. I thought, I need to go over and just let her know. And then you went over right ahead of me and just, you were the meet and greet person. See? And that just touched my heart. And God says, that little thing like that, that's what I'm talking about. Meet and greet's not over for her because she needs a hug. And so he prompts two people, you know, go over there and hug her. And then you just beat me to it, right? I went over and hugged her too. Maybe I should have hugged her anyway, but you know, that's what I felt like. She just needed somebody. And so he's saying, if you just get your mind off yourself for a little while and love somebody, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, everything else is going to be okay. Isn't that a great code? I love that code. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us commandments. And I hope today that we do understand very clearly that these commandments were given to us so that we could live in freedom, total freedom. That every night as we lay our head on our pillow, that when we abide in these, our minds will be clear. and our focus will be on you. That you're in love with us. You gave your Son for us. And that every code, every commandment that you gave to us is not to restrict us, but to liberate us. Help us to have that mindset, because that's the way it should be. Every code, every commandment is set up just like our personal homes are set up. Every rule that we have is to benefit our home. It's to love one another, to respect one another. When we tell our children, don't backtalk your mother, that's not a restriction for them. That's, Lord, that's a blessing for the home. It's a blessing for the child. It's a blessing for the mother. It falls into honoring your parents. And so help us to take that simple little thing and say, you know what? The commandments are not to restrict us, are they, Lord? They're to give us freedom. To give us peace. And to bless you. And so we ask in Jesus' name that you'll help us. Just walk in these and love these commandments. And grow in these commandments. So we can experience the freedom that you called us to enjoy. You're a good God. And we can trust you today. And we do trust you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And while Christians are praying, heads are bowed, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, or you've maybe in one of these areas today that I've mentioned, one of the commandments, you're saying, you know what, Pastor, I'm not walking in that. And today I want to repent and I want to make that right. But if there's something in your heart today that needs to be purged by the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, would you just repeat this after me? Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Heal my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I'm yours, Lord. I give you lordship over my life. Be my Lord and Savior. And I repent. I turn from my sin. And I turn to you. And I walk in freedom today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just had a note. We're going to pray for Eric, Haley, Angela, and Adam, their trip. And we're going to take offering now.
Yeah, what we want to do is just give you guys an opportunity. Some of you may want to give to our trip and our mission trip. We're going to Guatemala next Saturday, and we'll be gone for 6 days down there. And so we're just going to ask for prayer up here. If you guys want to come up here and pray over us, you can. We'll just take a moment to do that. And we want to give you the opportunity to give to our trip if you'd like to. And again, it's no pressure, not a big deal, but we want to give you the opportunity to help support our trip and really to bless the school down there. We're going to help build a school. Angela and Haley are going to work with some of the students there in the classrooms while Eric and I labor building, and then in the evening we'll be preaching at different churches each night, and then Eric and I will also be working with some of the leaders in the churches there on Monday afternoon. So we just want to give you guys the opportunity to give to that trip and help bless them down there as we go. And what we'd like to do is just give you the opportunity to do that before you leave. Philip, if you'll just leave one of those bags back there, and if you want to give to that, you can put it in there before you leave. If you're going to the chili dinner or the chili lunch, you can leave it in there if you like. But just let us know and note on there if it's for our Guatemala trip. And before we do that, we just also want to invite any of our guests and visitors to meet Pastor Jack afterwards, just right over here on the side table. He has a gift for you he'd like to give. And then if any of you regulars want to speak to Jack once he greets the visitors, we want to give you the opportunity to talk to him after that also. Okay, so
and really, if you want to contribute to this, it really is going to go for Christian education in Guatemala. They have a school. There's about 200 plus, between 250 usually in their classes, and they're growing, and so they're just going to, this will be an extension onto their school, and so it'll be Christian education in Guatemala is where your funds will go to, and all the funds will go for that. So and the expense of their trip, however they want to divide that, but that's what we'll go for. Just planting good seeds. Be like you going to Guatemala and preaching, whatever you give, okay, to this trip. So we appreciate that as well.
And just a reminder also, next week we'll be taking our Life Outreach International offering for the well. So that'll be next Sunday that you'll be taking that. And it's giving towards to a water well. We want to supply the funds to build one water well. It's $4,800, correct, for that. And again, that offering will be taken up next week. So please keep that in mind also, that the church would like to furnish one complete water well for $4,800.
That's our goal for Life Outreach International for this year, is to just complete a water well for them. So just throughout the years you can give to that, and we'll start that this next Sunday. And we get to go out after a while and push a button and clear water comes out, but they don't have the privilege of doing that. So these are just things that keep us to say, you know what, part of what I make is going to go for something else. It's going to go to loved ones. God said when you give somebody a cup of water, you go see them in the hospital, you go take care, you've done it unto me. And so this is a way of us just giving you opportunities. And you may say, oh, the Christian education thing's what I'm excited about. You may say, give somebody a drink of water. That's why we have different opportunities, because different passions for different people, that's what you'll want to contribute to. That is my passion. The Life Outreach, I love giving to that. So if you're like me in that area, you may say, well, if we can't get them Christian education, that it's not going to change the world, and that's my passion. So whatever you're passionate about, do that and be obedient to the Lord. Let's pray. Some of the prayer warriors, come on up and let's just lay hands on. Just get with everyone has a prayer warrior, just agreeing with them right quick, and then we'll join in with you all. Father, we just thank you for this team, our youth pastors, and some of our young people that are going to Guatemala to represent Christ and to be a blessing. We ask that, first of all, you would give them a word. There's many things they could preach and teach on, many things that Angela and Haley could say to the kids, and Eric and Adam could preach on, but we ask that you'll begin to stir in their hearts the exact words, the messages, and things to say to the students and to the churches as they go and teach and preach. And in everything they do and say, let them just display Jesus Christ and His passion and His love to this people that's so precious. They give everything they've got and more to win souls. We ask you to let them be a blessing. That's their goal, is to be a blessing to these people. We ask that the monies that is they take down to Guatemala, and the labor that they of love that they give, that it will be a blessing to further the addition that built on this school. And we ask, Lord, that you would put a hedge of protection around them as they fly in the air and as they go from location to location in a different country. We ask for a hedge of protection and guiding angels be around them, and that you'll bring them home safely. Now, Lord, we ask that you would just bless the gift and the givers, all those that invest in Christian education in Guatemala. We ask that you would bless them with increase as they plant their seeds in this good soil. God, we don't live by the economic system of America or the world. We live by the economic system of Jesus Christ. And you said when we plant and we invest in the kingdom, it will come up. It won't go down like the stock market. It'll just continue to flourish. And so for those that give today, I ask a blessing upon them. 30, 60, and 100-fold return as you have promised in your word. And bless the seeds that we give, that they'll produce Christians. People coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And they'll bless the teachers and the workers in this Christian school. And it'll further the kingdom of God. Let every penny spent be to your glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's pray over the lunch real quick, too, before we get started. Father, we just pray as we come to this part of the service, we ask you to bless our fellowship, bless the food, let it nourish our bodies. And we thank you, Lord, for all those that are prepared today. We ask you to bless them and the hands that prepared. And we thank you, Lord, for this time we have to fellowship together today and just love on one another and enjoy a good meal. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.